Okay, let's have a word of prayer, right? Then we'll just dive in and learn the balanced Christian life and spiritual gifts. Okay, spiritual gifts. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning that we can come into your presence. We thank you, Father. Every Sunday is a day of rejoicing, a day that we can reflect on your goodness. Especially, Father, with regards to the resurrection of Christ, we thank you that it is Christ who rose from the dead, so that we can have life, and we can have life more abundantly. Heavenly Father, we thank you that on a Sunday we can come to learn your word that will affect us, Lord, for the rest of our lives. We pray that every word that is spoken, every Bible verse that we learn will impact our lives in some way. Father, we thank you also for, we just want to remember the family, our Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong and the family as they do this final send-off, Lord, for their dad, our minister mentor. We pray, Father, that as a nation we are thankful. As a church we are thankful for the freedom of our worship that we have in this country. And we ask you, Lord, to continue. We pray for our leaders that you give them continually, Lord, allow them to guide this country. And Father, they will continually have the freedom of worship so that we can continue to reach out to more people for your honor and your glory. Lord, we pray that you comfort the family right now. And also, Lord, for the rest of the Singaporeans that will be there. But for us, Lord, as we lift our eyes to you, above all, we pray that our eyes will be focused on your word. Our eyes will be focused on what you want us to do. So that, Father, will continue to be a blessing in our small ways, Lord, that you put us in. When we may never be a Lee Kuan Yew, but we thank you, Lord, that we can be someone in your kingdom who will touch someone else's life and change their lives forever. We thank you. What you're going to do, speak to us in a special way as we just look at the balanced Christian life and spiritual gifts. We pray that you would just open our hearts, Lord, to this important topic. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, today we are we'll be going in-depth into spiritual gifting, okay, but I'll just be going an overview, all right, the fact that we all have spiritual gifts, the fact that we are, as much as every Christian who is saved, God actually imparts a spiritual gift. Okay, let's read this 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. Let's read together. Ready? It's actually in your notes there. Ready? 1, 2, go. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as he has pleased him. In 1 Corinthians 12, 18, this verse talks to us about God's intention for every church member to be a useful part of the local church. Would you agree with that? The Bible says, now hath God set. The word set means appoint. Ordained. God actually has set every Christian in the local church as he had pleased him. Okay? So every church member is actually a very, very important integral part of the local church. Okay? And it is God who has appointed them there. So it is a very, very important, it's very, very serious, very, very solemn thought that as church members, we actually have an important role in the local church. Okay? And this is what God said. Today we want to deal with the whole area of spiritual gifts on how it actually impacts a Christian and how it should impact a Christian. We'll look at what is a spiritual gift, what are spiritual gifts of the Bible, how do we develop our spiritual gifts, and how can I discover my spiritual gifts. Okay, we won't go into depth like book surveys and stuff, but we just want to have an overview. And we have touched on spiritual gifts before. There was one church camp, I think, a few years back with this whole thing about spiritual gifts. Okay, we may revisit them again for our newer members so that we can also discover our spiritual gifts. Now, how many of you, maybe just as a show of hands, how many of you know what is your spiritual gift? Okay, we need to find out. We will need to have a session where we deal with that again, okay? Because everyone needs to know their spiritual gifts. And today, hopefully, just give an overview and also in our hearts, how can we actually discover that, okay? So, what is a spiritual gift? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. What is a spiritual gift? And as I was studying this again, looking at the different perspectives, it's interesting. 1 Corinthians 12, 7, the Bible says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The manifestation of the Spirit, that means however what the Spirit actually shows out. In the context of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul was talking about spiritual gifts, okay? And he says that the spiritual gift is given to every man to profit withal. Okay, the word withal means profit everyone. In the Pentecostal charismatic movement today, spiritual gifting is oftentimes, like for example, speaking in tongues, they say, oh, you build up yourself, you edify yourself. That was never God's intention. It was never God's intention for us to have spiritual gift to build up ourselves. It's always to build up the whole community of believers. Alright? So as a Christian, God gives us spiritual gift to edify the whole body. Okay? But what is a spiritual gift? A spiritual gift is not a natural talent we have. Some people can play piano very well. Some people can sing very well. Some people can draw very well. These are natural talents that God actually gave them, which is good, okay? But it is not a spiritual gift. You must be very, very clear that, okay? A spiritual gift is a God-given ability for service. It's a God-given ability for service, just very simply. In this simple definition, there's three parts. Number one, it is given by God. The source of the gift is God. The Bible says the manifestation of the Spirit. God is the one who gives the Spirit, gives the gift. The meaning of gift is the ability. Okay? So it's God-given ability for the purpose of the gift is for service. Alright, so there's three parts. Spiritual gift is a God-given ability for service. And it's a very important principle. Every Christian needs to understand that. This gift, this is very important, okay? Over the years, people have actually said, I don't believe my gift is in the youth ministry. I don't believe my gift is in the children's. We have to be very clear on this, okay? The gift is not a place of service. Spiritual gift is not a place of service, okay? Example, because some people say, I think I'll make a good usher. I think I'll make a good youth leader. Therefore, I'm involved in that. Spiritual gift has nothing to do with the place of service. Okay, some people may say, no, Brother Johnny, I'm not very good with children. Being not very good, it may be a personality thing, but it's not a spiritual gift thing. Does that make sense? Some people say, I cannot teach. If we are a teacher, for example, after I explain, if we have gift of teaching, for example, we want to develop that gift so that we can teach from children all the way to the older ones. Okay? If we really have the gift of teaching, for example, God can actually use us in the various aspects, from young all the way to the old. Okay? I'll explain that a little bit more. We have to be very clear. A gift is not a place of service. Again, one is a gift is not an age group ministry. This time I talk about children's, youth, young person, adult, etc. Okay? Some people may be naturally. Some people are natural with older people. Some people can work very well with younger people. But that is not a gift. It's just your personality being able to work with the younger ones, personality being able to work with the older ones. Okay, but it's not a spiritual gift. What you do in those ministry becomes that gifting. All right? It is the gifting, what you do. Okay, spiritual gift has nothing to do with the place of service or age group. Okay, example, spiritual gift of teaching, example, the ability to present truth in a clear manner so that listeners will receive a spiritual blessing from God. Okay, whether it's a one-to-one, in a Sunday school class, in a Bible institute, or just sharing the Word of God with someone. So if I have a spiritual gift of teaching, for example, on a one-to-one, I can present the truth of God very clearly to this person. If in a Bible institute situation, I can present the truth clearly. In a Sunday school, I'm able to do the necessary research and present and teach clearly so that someone else can actually understand the truth. Very clearly, I think for some of us who have been in FBI, Pastor Johnny has a very, very clear gift of teaching. Okay, it's his ability to take the truth, systematically actually expound and then share with the people. And people are very clear and very encouraged by that teaching. That's called a spiritual gift. Okay, does that make sense? All right? Any questions? Okay, please ask, okay? Well, let's move on. What are spiritual gifts in the Bible? Remember, a spiritual gift is a God-given ability for service. Let's turn to Romans chapter 4, verse 7. We want to discover God actually given very specific lists of spiritual gifts. We're just going to go through them, all right? We won't go through whether I have them, but I'll just give you some basic principles later on how can we discover them. What are the spiritual gifts in the Bible? Romans 12, sorry. What did I say? Oh, sorry, must be my fever. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 to 7. Romans chapter 12, we start at verse number 3, okay? The Bible says, Paul says, "For I say, to the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." Paul was very clear to the Romans. The Romans were proud people, okay? Because they were the conquerors in that time. They were very proud people. But the Roman Christians, Paul actually had to teach them, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think of yourself according as how God has dealt with us. Okay? Verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, all of us being in the local church," Paul is actually teaching us, all of us, like in a body, there are different parts of the body, but different parts do different things. Right? Some is the hair, some is the ears, some is the toenail, some is the thumb, some is the inside the spleen, some is the bowel duct, some is the arteries. Okay? So different parts of the body are set in the body, but they all have a very important function. That's what Paul says. When one part of the body hurts, the whole is affected. Example, like for myself, sore throat affects the whole body. Okay? If you kick, hey, how many of you have the unpleasant experience of kicking your small toe against the wall? It's like, ow! Small toe only. And you scream, okay? Or some of us, there was one time, I think it was Esther Joy, I think it was, she was playing with you know those toothpick that has is very sharp ones? I don't know what she did. She did something and then she pressed her hand. Her whole toothpick was stuck into her hand. It's like, ha ha! She was crying and all that kind of thing. Okay? One part of the body hurts, everything is affected. Paul actually mentions it very clearly and uses the illustration. If one part of the body is hurting or something happens, it does affect the whole. Okay? As a local church member, God says that if we do not do what we're supposed to do, it does affect everyone else. Okay? So it's a very, very important principle. So all of us have different offices. Okay, Romans chapter 12, verse 4, now verse 5. "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." Okay? It's very, very interesting. One of the things I think our minister mentor had was some motor neuron disease, I think. Some neurological disease that actually affected his movements and stuff like this. Okay, what happens in some of these neurological diseases is that the connection between the brain to the muscles is actually being interfered. So which means that the messages are not sent to the muscles, which causes the muscles not to react as quickly as it should. Okay, does that make sense? And over time, it does affect a lot of the bodily functions. All of us, you must understand, in the local church are related to one another, like it or not. What happens to you affects me. What happens to me affects you. We all are affected by one another. That's what the Bible actually says. Okay? In verse 5, "So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one another." Verse 6, okay? "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us." We all have different gifts, different spiritual gifts, and it's according to what God has given to us. And because God wisely bestows his gift on different people, we cannot say my gift is better than yours, your gift is better than mine. It is God who gives to everyone. So basically, it's just like an employee receiving something from the employer, and I'm supposed to do that. Okay, I'm supposed to do what I'm supposed to do. It's not that I'm better than the other person. It's that God wisely bestows upon all of us. Okay, so we need to understand that. "Having then gifts differing according to grace that's given to us, whether prophecy," that's the first gift we'll talk about. Prophecy, prophecy has the idea of foretelling. Foretelling. In the early church, there were some prophets who were able to foretell. Agabus, for example, was able to foretell that there's going to be a famine. Okay? The word prophecy also has the meaning of foretelling of the word of God. God giving the word to the prophet, and the prophet actually foretelling the word of God to the congregation. Alright? So there are prophets during the early church. Then there is also prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, give of ministry means what? Give of service. Give of service, okay? Service, the idea of service means waiting on someone, like a waiter. You know, a waiter would wait and say, oh, you need help, sir? I'll help you. Give of service. You never see a whole church that is based on the ministry of, the gift of ministry, gift of service. Okay, you don't see that. Alright? But this gift has to do with the God-given ability to serve, and many times tirelessly. And it is, there are some we are thankful that we have many, many people with the gift of ministry in our church, where they serve tirelessly. Alright? They don't give in, they just keep on serving. Then the gift of teaching, the spiritual gift of teaching is the ability to present truth in a clear manner so that the listeners will receive a spiritual blessing from God. Okay? The many teachers during the early church as well. Then the gift of verse number 7, or he that teaches on teaching, verse 8, he that exalteth on exaltation, the word exaltation is a spiritual gift of encouragement. Okay, there are some people who are just natural at encouraging someone else. Okay, this is a spiritual gift. And in the early church, in the local church, we need a lot of encouragers, and we thank God we do have encouraging people in the church. And this could be a spiritual gift that you can reach out to encourage someone. Okay, to some people, encouraging someone is not natural. Actually, they force themselves. But for some people, it's very natural. But the natural is when we pray and ask God to actually use us in a spiritual manner, God may manifest that gift in us. Okay, the spiritual gift of encouragement. Then the gift of giving. Gift of giving. This is what the Bible says in verse 8. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. There are some people with a natural, not natural, with a spiritual gift of giving. The word giving has the idea of giving generously, simply, without fanfare. In other words, I'll just give. It's a spiritual gift. But remember, the goal of the spiritual gifts is always to build up someone. It is a very, very important principle. After I touch on it a little bit. Another one is a rulership. He that ruleth with diligence. The word rulership has to do with spiritual administration. Okay? And then mercy. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. The word mercy has to do with compassion with the view of helping the person. Okay? This list of gifts in the book of Romans have as its outcome, the results of this gift must be that the church of God, the people of God, are being encouraged towards Christ. Okay? It's a very big difference when people say, oh, I have this spiritual gift of piano playing or whatever. Piano playing is not a spiritual gift. It's just a natural talent. Okay? But by playing, you can encourage someone else. But the spiritual gifting is not in that playing. Alright? It's how God uses that. But for us who have spiritual gifts, it must be that someone is drawn to Christ. If I give, does it draw someone closer to Christ? If I encourage, some people are very good at talking and they can encourage, they can talk about things, but they don't actually draw a person to Christ. Do you see that difference? You can sit for 5 hours drinking coffee. At the end of the 5 hours drinking coffee, the person is never drawn to Christ. It's a very different principle because some people say, oh, I have the gift of encouragement. I like to drink coffee with these people. I spend time with them. But at the end of the day, is a person drawn closer to Christ? Is a person drawn closer to serving God more? If it doesn't, that's not a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift always has the goal of drawing people towards Christ, His Word, His work. That's the purpose of the spiritual gifting. Okay? Does that make sense? Any questions? Okay? It is very important because many people claim to have gifts, but if the person is not drawn to Christ, to God, then there's a big question mark about that. Okay? The next group of gifts is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians 12. So these are one group of spiritual gifts. Another group is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, 29. It seems to, in the scriptures, there's a group of offices, okay, which are gifts in 1 Corinthians 12:28. The Bible says, And God set some in the church. First, apostles. The apostles were gifts of God to the local church to build up the foundation, kind of like our founding fathers of Singapore. You know, the Kila Go King Sui and all these people are the founding fathers. They really dug in. They really did a lot. But for the local church, we had apostles. All right, from the early church. Okay, the office of the apostles. There are no apostles today. All right, based on the word of God, there are no apostles today. Okay, because there are certain criteria of the apostles. Okay, then there's also prophets. The Bible says this time we talk about prophecy. Prophets, the office of prophets such as Agabus. All right, they are teachers. There's also the gift of, the Bible says then after that miracles, then gifts of miracles. The miracles has the idea of doing the supernatural. Okay, doing the supernatural. It's amazing in the early church. The apostles can walk past. The shadow of the apostles can actually heal the sick. That is how powerful God. And there's some people, oh, who are these guys, you know. But you know what? They don't point to themselves. They always point to Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. They don't worship us and worship Him. It's always pointing back to Him. So the miracles were just catching people's attention, but the prophets always pointed everyone back to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Okay? No matter how good we are, we must always point back to the Lord Jesus Christ and give Him the praise and glory so that people can be drawn towards Him. That's the purpose of the spiritual gift. Okay? Then there's always also the healing. The word healing has to do with curing people, literally. Curing people. I appreciate people who pray. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. And so I was sick and you all prayed. And I believe God healed because as I was sharing just now, my fever was escalating. You know, usually take Panadol, it should go down, right? It actually went up. So I was pretty concerned that, well, maybe it's something else. But you know, after your prayer, I'm sure people prayed. It went down by last evening and by today. Well, last evening was still a bit high, but it came down this morning. But you know, in the past, it was immediate healing. It was immediate. Apostles could do it. Okay, there were these spiritual gifts, all right, of healing in the early church. Then there's, oh, this is amazing. This one is a gift of helps. What do you mean by gift of helps? The word help there had to do with relief, giving relief to someone. Have you heard of this spiritual gift before? A spiritual gift of helps. The spiritual gift of giving relief to someone else is actually a spiritual gift whereby a person through the helping, giving relief to someone, actually points a person to Christ. Okay? It's not a gift that has a lot of prominence. It's not a gift that you stand on stage and tell everyone your gift of helps. It is in the homes where people need help, the poor, for example, the lame, who need people to encourage them. And the gift of helps gives relief. The early church had the spiritual gift of helps. And I'm thankful that I believe in our church, we just need to find out who has those gifts. The spiritual gift of helps, giving relief to people. The other one is the governments. The word government has to do with administration, once again, tying into Romans chapter 12, verse 8, about ruling. Okay, diversities of tongues in the early church, the people speaking with tongues. Remember, the word tongues means different languages, all right? It's not a heavenly language, not according to the Bible. Then there's a gift of interpretation of tongues, that when someone says something and the whole congregation don't understand, someone else actually had the gift of interpreting those tongues. And these are actually spiritual gifts, whereby, you know, the gift of tongues is the ability to speak a language without having to learn them. That's in the early church. The gift of interpretation is the ability to, the spiritual, natural, supernatural ability to interpret the language we've never heard before. Okay, that's a spiritual gift. And ultimately, when this person speaks in tongues, this person interprets, it all points back to Christ. It all points back to God. That was in the early church. We don't need tongues today. You know why? We have the Bible in more than 4,000 to 5,000 languages. Okay? That was in the interim period of the spiritual gifting during that time. All right? Another group of spiritual gifts, Ephesians chapter 4. Now, Ephesians chapter 4 is a different group of spiritual gifts whereby it talks, it's actually a people gift, a person gift. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, and it gave some apostles. Once again, apostles is a spiritual gift to the church. Prophets was also a spiritual gift to the church, Ephesians 4, 11. Some evangelists was also a spiritual gift to the church, and some pastors and teachers. The word pastors and teachers, they are two of the same person. Okay, pastors, even teachers. Okay, they are two of the same. Alright? These are the people gave to the church. Last time I didn't understand this. Then I realized that what God did was for the local church, in order to have spiritual leadership, God actually put these gifts to the church. Alright? The pastor, the evangelist, the prophets. Now we don't have prophets and we don't have the apostles today, but we do have the evangelists, pastors and teachers today to spiritually guide the church of God. Okay? So these are the office gifts that God has given to the local church. Okay? Now, there are three must-haves in terms of spiritual gifting for every believer. Okay, every believer need to be... Do you realize in all the spiritual gifts, example, foretelling the word of God, helping, service, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, rulership, mercy, what God wants is for all of us to actually have this spiritual gifting in us so that we can actually serve. Okay? Some people believe very much that one person will have at least one gift. I believe that everyone who is a Christian, God has given the spiritual gifts to us so that we can effectively serve the Lord in the local church. Does that make sense? Okay? Every Christian has a spiritual gift. Alright? But there are three must-haves in terms of spiritual gifting. Number one, serving. Every Christian should be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and the more you serve, the more the Lord actually helps us to understand what serving is all about. Okay, another spiritual gift that we need to develop in our life is a gift of giving. Gift of giving. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, let's just turn there. Acts 20, 35. The gift of giving. Some people find it very hard to give without wanting anything in return. But a person with a spiritual gift of giving would give and say, God, I'm going to bless the people of God with my giving. Okay, Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Let's read there. Okay, ready? One, two, go. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul spoke these words, and it's interesting. If you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Jesus never said it in the Gospels. This verse, it is more blessed to give than to receive, was spoken to the Lord Jesus Christ directly to Paul. And Paul included it in the Holy Bible to help us to understand that is God's intention for every Christian. That it is more blessed to give than to receive. Okay? That we give because we want to bless someone else. And as we bless someone else, God will bless us. Okay? May not be materially, but you know, I don't know about you. Material blessings is one thing. But, you know, when God bless us from the inside, our spiritual life grow because of our giving, that's more important. Okay? We need to have the gift of serving, giving, and showing of mercy. Showing of mercy. And this is important spiritual truth. Every Christian ought to always be showing mercy to someone else. You know why? We have received mercy from God. Does that make sense? Okay? We have to move from last time, we have to move towards being more and more like Christ in every situation to show mercy. For example, when Peter betrayed Christ, that was a very serious thing. Very serious. But the Lord Jesus had mercy and showed mercy on him. Okay? It's not just for him, for many, many, even for Stephen when he was stoned, he was showing mercy. Now, every Christian need to develop this ability to show mercy because mercy is a character trait of God. Does that make sense? Okay? Of course, there are certain people, it's easier for them to show mercy. Okay? Because that's their spiritual gift. And you can do anything to them, say anything to them, they are able to show mercy and compassion and forgive. Okay? Very, very open-heartedly. All right? Service apart from the use of spiritual gift. Service apart from the use of spiritual gift is not spiritual service. It is only a manifestation or activity of self. Now this phrase, we take it with a pinch of salt because when we serve the Lord, God can use anything we have to serve Him. Amen? Who you are, what you say, But when we use spiritual gifting to bless the church will move forward. Okay, and every Christian will also grow spiritually. Okay, I think there was this biblically speaking, God has put in us, every one of us, an ambassador, a spiritual gift. And the use of the spiritual gift is to bless the local church and to expand in ministries. And it has to be in line with the plan of God in the local church. When we actually get involved in parachurch organizations, for example, we have to be very careful because that was never God's intention to use the spiritual gift for the church to be used in parachurch organization. Does that make sense? All right. So when Paul actually talks about all the spiritual gifts within the local church, we need to ask God, well, what is my spiritual gift and how am I supposed to use it for the local church? Okay. So how do I develop my spiritual gifts? How do I develop my spiritual gifts? Okay, as we continue, how do I just, three principles we need. God gives the gifts, right? We know the Spirit empowers the gift, and the believer need to develop the gift. Okay, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. 1 Corinthians 12, 31. In verse 30, let me just read that first. Have all the gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret. Verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now that verse is interesting because the word covet has to do with desire earnestly the best gifts. Desire earnestly the best gifts has to do with the person actually wanting the gifts that will bless other people. Okay? Alright? And embedded within there is one guideline. How do I develop the gift? Okay? Now, let's say, for example, I have the gift of teaching. Let's just an example. To covet earnestly the best gift, God can give us a spiritual gift of teaching. And when we covet earnestly the best gift, the principle within there is we're asking the Lord, Lord, what can am I doing all I can to develop this gift in myself? Okay? Develop this gift in myself. And it's important, if the gift is teaching, then are we improving our teaching by studying more, teaching more, using every opportunity we have to use the gift? That's a very important principle. Someone who has a spiritual gift, God has given the ability. God expects us to use it so that we can develop it. Okay, I was just thinking of the illustration that some people are in the gifted program, for example. Some children are in the gifted program in Singapore because they've been identified to be smarter, okay, in some areas. But you know what? If that person doesn't actually use whatever gifts he has or learning he has, he will just stay the way he is. So it is with spiritual gifts within a Christian. Okay? God can give us a gift, but we can say, I'm not going to use it. Do you know what happens? You don't grow, and the people around you don't grow as well. Does that make sense? Okay? So we have to constantly use this. All right? Number one, coveting earnestly the best gifts has to do with actually wanting God to give us the gift that will bless others more, and also embedded in it, we need to develop the gifts by improving ourselves within that gift. For example, you give teaching, you would, you know, every opportunity you teach, you will want to teach so that you can develop the gifts. For example, you believe a gift of teaching, again, if the children's ministry need someone to teach at the outing, say, I'll do it. Okay? And it's interesting how God can actually use that in different scenarios. Okay? But another way of developing the gift is also, let's turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 10 and 12. Romans chapter 1, verse 10 and 12. How do we develop this gift? We're talking about a balanced Christian. A balanced Christian will use a spiritual gift to serve the Lord. Okay? In Romans chapter 1, verse 10 to 12, saying, making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Because I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now it's interesting, embedded here, Paul is actually saying that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, something that will bless you, something that will encourage you, some truth that will help you to grow. Paul is saying, I want to see you so I can actually impart to you. Now, the second way to develop the spiritual gift we have is actually to be attentive to the ministry of other people. I don't know whether you can see the correlation. Paul is saying, I want to come to you so I can impart some spiritual gift to you. So as you sit, let's say Paul is here, okay, and he's preaching and I'm sitting together. When we're attentive to what Paul is saying, God may be blessing us with certain principles that will help us to grow also in our spiritual lives. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay? So for example, if someone may be leading the choirs, and as we attend to the ministry of other people, we can also grow in how we can use the spiritual gift for God. Basically, it's for us to develop it by seeking opportunities, getting involved, and also as we sit under other people's ministry, God actually challenging us and encouraging us how we need to serve so that we can use our gifts, okay? All right, one final thing is, how can I discover my spiritual gifts? How can I discover my spiritual gifts? Some three very practical things you can do. I'll give you, and we end off with an example. Number one, we need to be informed. You need to know what are the gifts. Today we talk about all the gifts, all right? We need to be informed, and also we need to be informed about the gifts. Because we need to know what gifts are there. The gift of health, relief, service, administration, preaching, teaching, showing mercy, giving, etc. These are all spiritual gifts, okay? So we need to be informed. You know? We need to study. We need to study the Word of God. What are the gifts? Okay? Number two, we need to be willing to use the gifts. We need to be willing. A Christian, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I think it talks about the spiritual warfare, but embedded within there is an admonishment that Paul gives us in Ephesians chapter 6. Verse number 15. Okay, the Bible said, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The idea there is we must always be ready for service. A Roman soldier in the past always have to have their shoes on because they walk on rocky ground. All right, the idea, if you don't have your shoes on, you cannot travel very far because it will pierce the sole of your feet. So as a Christian soldier, according to Paul, our feet must always be shodded. Okay, in other words, we must always be ready for service. And it's very, very, very important because a Christian who is not ready to serve at a moment's notice sometimes cannot be useful to God. Can't be useful to God. Because sometimes God calls us at a moment's notice to do things for Him. Okay, I was teaching the Chinese folks, I think I shared on Friday night, that, you know, when Matthew was sitting at the receipt of custom, and he was actually collecting taxes, and Jesus came and said, come, follow me. The Bible says Matthew left all and followed him. Okay? And was telling the Chinese congregation that sometimes in the midst of our daily lives, God will call us at a moment's notice to do something. We must be prepared to drop and do the spiritual work. All right? And we had an opportunity on a Monday as we were visiting, I think it's Sister Vivian's niece, wake for one of our brethren in the Chinese church to be able to go and try to work. And you know, it's encouraging that when I called him, SMS him, say, is it okay? His message back to me is, okay, I come. That was encouraging. And he planned his day. He told his boss and he came. Of course, it's after his work hours, lah. Okay, but he told his boss he need to leave early because he wanted to be a blessing to this person who may or may not be a Christian, I don't know. But because there was some relationship of his past life that he can actually use to be an encouragement. So sometimes God calls us at a moment's notice to do His will. The question is, are we willing to? Not to serve man, but to serve God. That God says, I need you to do this. We need to be willing to use the gifts. Okay? And finally, we need to be actively involved in the use of gifts. We need to be involved, actively involved serving. The only way you're going to learn about your gift is to be serving. There's no other way. You cannot grow, you cannot do anything. If you cannot develop your spiritual gift without serving. In the book of Acts chapter 6, okay, you don't have to turn there. There was one man, okay, let's turn there actually. Then we can trace through the... There was this man who was actively involved in the service of the Lord. And God actually promoted him as he go along. In Acts chapter 6, verse 5, okay. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip. Okay, I just want to focus on Philip. Philip was in this first... What was Philip's job in Acts chapter 6? What was his job? Anyone? Sorry? He was a deacon, okay. But what was the problem during that time? That they had to come up with deacons. Something else. Alright? Because certain of the Greeks were saying, some of the Hebrews are... Or the daily service, a portion of food they have, how come we don't have? So the apostles called for men who are filled with the Spirit of God to serve tables. You know what that tells me, tells us, should tell us, that even doing the menial tasks, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Because you know what's the outcome? The outcome, look at verse number 7. The Bible says in verse 6, of whom they set before the apostles, after the deacons were appointed, they set before the apostles, when they prayed, they lay hands on them. The Bible didn't say, and the problem was solved. The Bible says the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. The outcome of spirit-filled people doing the work of God led to growth. Then people became obedient to the faith as they saw spirit-filled people serving. Does that make sense? So Philip was serving tables. Alright? That's why Acts chapter 8. What's the next thing about Philip that you know that we always talk about? We always have baptisms and all that. In Acts chapter 8. Verse number 4, I read there. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Seems to me the early church had one thing on their hearts. Everywhere they go, they need to bring the gospel. Would you agree? They were being persecuted. How would you feel when you are being persecuted? Afraid? You run for your life, right? Those early church Christians, the Bible didn't say they were fearful. It's just that they were being persecuted, so they were scattered. But everywhere they went, in verse 4, they went preaching the gospel. Do you realize our Baptist forefathers, for those who will be coming for the new members class, I'm going to show you historically, the Baptist forefathers, everywhere they went, okay, there was one particular group, I think they were the Albigenses, whereby they were running for their lives and they settled in a county in America or in England, I can't remember. And what happened was, over time, people were getting saved. But they were doing their work diligently. But the problem was, everywhere they went, as they were working hard, showing good example, their employers and the people around them were getting saved because of their testimony. And these are people who could actually, the word of God was so embedded in their hearts, they memorized whole books of the Bible. Okay? To the point that Catholics were so concerned about them, they kicked them out. But everywhere they went, the gospel went with them. And the whole colonies of people get saved simply because the people went everywhere preaching the word. So Philip was a good example of the early church. The Bible says he was a deacon. He was serving tables. He was just taking care of the menial tasks, but he was filled with the Holy Ghost. The next thing he did was he went down to Samaria to preach the word. And guess what? There was a revival in Samaria because of Philip. There was a revival in fresh Christ, and the people in one accord gave heed, and those things which Felix said, hearing and seeing the miracles he did, and unclean spirits, the whole thing, alright, to the point that even the, now in verse 14, now when apostles which were heard that Samaria had received the word, they sent unto them Peter and John, alright, who when they came down, prayed for them they might receive the Holy Ghost. What happened when Philip went, he preached the word, Samaria was having a revival, the apostles came, the Holy Ghost came as well, alright, and Philip, being obedient to God, initially was full of the Holy Ghost, served tables, went to preach the word. You know what? In the end, what did Philip become? Acts chapter 20, he became an evangelist. An office of the evangelist given to him. And the next day, we were of Paul's company, departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist. There was a title given to him, which was one of the seven that abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, and did prophesy. Now, Philip was a deacon serving tables. He went down to preach the word Samaria. In Acts 20, he was given the title Philip the Evangelist. There was an office. Remember, the evangelist is also a gift to the local church. In Ephesians chapter 4:11, Philip, as he served, as he was involved, grew spiritually, that God made him an evangelist. And where he went everywhere, the Bible says, preaching the word. Okay? Now, the spiritual Christian will serve God through spiritual gifts in the local church. This is one of the primary responsibilities of the spiritually minded Christian. In order for us to grow in our Christian life, we need to find out what our spiritual gifts are and use it actively. But Brother John Lee, I don't really know. You know how to actually know? Just start doing something. Okay, just start doing something. And if there's an opportunity to serve, can I say this? Listen to Matthew 24, 25. Just want to share this. Matthew 25. In order to grow as a Christian, spiritually minded Christian, Matthew chapter 25, and verse number 14. This we know is a parable of the talents. The Bible says, for the kingdom, verse 14, the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling a far country who called unto his servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Verse 15 is a very important passage with regards to God giving us opportunities to serve. The word talents there is not talents as we would know talents, skills and abilities. It's not. Talents has the idea of money in those early days. Okay, it's interesting. To some he gave 5, to some another 2, another 1. To every man according to his several ability. So the person already have ability. God knows how much you can take. God knows how much you can do. God will give you opportunities according to the things you can do. Okay? Now, can I encourage us in the development of spiritual gifting in our own Christian lives that we look for opportunities that God is giving to us to serve? And that every opportunity we have that we can find, say, Lord, do you want me to get involved? You know, when there's an opportunity for us to serve and we don't make use of an opportunity, you know what God does after a while? The very things that you have, God will also take it away. You know, the only illustration I have in my mind is this, that let's say if an employee is supposed to work and work hard and doesn't work hard, you know, he's actually an employee, he has a job, right? But you know, if he doesn't work hard, after a while the boss says, I'm sorry, I have to let you go. Because you're not contributing. So even the job that he has will be taken away from him. You know, that's a scary thing for a Christian, for us to be placed on the shelf. Okay? Growing as a Christian requires us to serve. And that is actually a mandate from God. Okay, every one of us need to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. In fact, that is a biblical script. We need to be about. We have duties of life. You've got studies, you've got work. We are faithful there, but we need to be abounding in our free time. Lord, I'm giving you my time. I'm giving you my time to serve so that I can grow as a Christian. In this particular verse, in Matthew 25:15, God says those talents, some people God gave 5 opportunities, some people gave 2 opportunities, some God just gave 1 opportunity. But God doesn't compare how much you have gained. But God actually sees whether we have been good and faithful to the 5, the 2, the 1 that we have done. Does that make sense? There is no comparison. Okay, if God put me as a pastor, my job is to do my best as a pastor. If God put you as a pianist, do the best you can. If God puts you as someone who will lead a tracking group, do the best you can. If God puts you to clean, clean the best you can. There is no comparison. Okay, there was an evangelist who says, probably some people who clean the church will receive more rewards compared to a pastor, because the person who cleaned the church did more faithfully than the pastor who was supposed to be doing faithfully but not. Alright? See, as far as God is concerned, God measures us not by our position, He measures us by our faithfulness. And when we are faithfully serving God, God develops a spiritual gifting in us. And over time, you will see God will promote you spiritually to serve Him. In fact, the more we grow in Christ, the more humble we will be, and the more service we will give to the Lord. All right, any questions as we close in this area of spiritual gifts? Here, I'm not too sure when. You'll probably need to do a spiritual gift again, all right, because we have new members and all that, to find out what are the spiritual gifts that you have so that you can actually use it, okay, to bless investor. Anyone have any questions? No? Okay, let's have a word of prayer, okay? Lord, thank you for this time that we can just spend some time, Lord, reflecting on the balanced Christian and how we need to use our spiritual gifting. Father, some of us may not know our spiritual gift, but Lord, we know in time as we begin to serve, we need to find out as well. We pray for your Holy Spirit, Lord, to fill us with that Spirit, to know how and what we need to do in order to grow in our spiritual gifting. Father, thank you for what you're going to do in the life of ambassador. We know, Father, that without you, we can do nothing. And Father, even the service we give to you, Lord, help us not to confuse natural talent for spiritual gifting. And sometimes we want to use our natural talent to serve you. But Father, we thank you that we can use what we have to serve you. But God, you want us to find out what the gift we have so that we can serve you spiritually. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. We pray that you'll be with all of us, even as we prepare our hearts for service later. We ask your Holy Spirit to guide us. And as we just spend some time for fellowshipping and encouraging one another, we ask you to be in our midst, Lord. Once again, we pray for the family of Lee Hsien Loong, who will be sending off their dad. We pray, Father, that you comfort them. We thank you once again, Father, for Lee Kuan Yew, that you have sent him to Singapore to develop this nation. Lord, we know that you have allowed him, Lord, this opportunity to do his best for us, and we are thankful for that. Lord, for the freedom of worship, help us to always cherish this. Help us to always be thankful, Lord, for the freedom we have in worship. Help us to stand for truth so that, Father, more people, especially of the next generation, will see Christ. We thank you once again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.